Good afternoon. So just a few words about Image Fusion, because sponge opening is kind of part of that. So according to Paul and Van Genderen, Image Fusion aims at integration of disparate and complementary data to enhance the information apparent in the images, as well as increasing the reliability of the interpretation. And image fusion is applied in many areas, and it's applied in order to sharpen images, improve geometric corrections, provide stereo viewing capabilities, replace defective data, substitute missing information, enhance certain features, complement data sets for improved classifications, and I'm sure there are also many more. And detailed reviews can be found from the articles by Paul and Van Genderen from 1998. And the newest one is the one written by Smith and Heather from 2005. So background of the work is that by using spectral imaging, we can acquire a huge amount of data, and which is, of course, very great. We have a nice amount of details, but sometimes it's also a little bit nasty, since if you want very detailed data, we also have to use so much storage space, and also acquiring the image may take a very long time. So it would be kind of convenient if you could just use short time for acquiring, and maybe then do some very nice tricks afterwards, and end up having a nice picture afterwards. And in remote sensing, punch sharpening is often used in order to increase the spatial resolution of spectral images. So the question is, could we, or how could we apply the punch sharpening also in spectral color images? So the idea of punch sharpening is that one has a high resolution panchromatic image, and when I say high resolution, I just mean the spatial resolution from now on, and then low resolution spectral image. And there are different ways of combining of using this, and as a result, one should get spectral image of high resolution. There are many ways of doing the fusion, but the problem is that there isn't such thing as ideal fusion method, and all the fused images can be kind of considered as trade-offs between good geometrical representation and then the original so-called right colors. And different kind of fusion method has, of course, their advantages and disadvantages. And the one we're using is the one which has lately given quite a promising results. But in a nutshell, the work is like that, trying to examine the possibility to enhance the spatial resolution of spectral color images by using RGB color images, and using Nuance FX spectral imaging system to acquire these images. We have having both RGB images and spectral images at two different resolution levels, and this spectral imaging system allows one to use just the very same geometry. And of course, the goal of the punch sharpening and basic image fusion is just to have an image which would be as close as possible to that image which would be really acquired in a real case. So we are just estimating the results by comparing them to the really acquired images. So, Dr. Emre, which is multi-resolution analysis-based intensity modulation introduced by Wang et al. In 2008. And it's, as said, designed to fuse high-resolution panchromatic image with a low-resolution spectral image. And the basic assumption of the method is written there. So it kind of assumes that if we have both high and low resolution panchromatic images, and also high and low resolution spectral images, they are kind of, or the correspondence to each other relation is like that. And from that, we can just solve this high resolution spectral image. Of course, there's a problem, like, what about if this low resolution panchromatic image is zero? So in order to avoid very problematic situation, one can just write the equation such that one gets high resolution image from the case that he or she adds something, this alpha omega, to this low resolution spectral image. And omega is defined as a difference between high and low resolution panchromatic images. But how about since we are using RGB images, and I'm just all the time talking about panchromatic images, so what can we really do? Well, the very easy solution is just take an average of all these three channels, RT and B, and use that image as a panchromatic image. Or then we can just try to employ these three channels we have. Either such that we just use one of these images, like for example, if you have wavelength channel, let's say 630, we just use red channel as a panchromatic image. Or then something which is a little bit more complicated, just try to weight these RGB channels and try to employ all of them at the same time. It would be really nice if we would have had a chance to just use camera responses and sensitivity curves. However, that was not possible, so kind of ended up using the spectral sensitivities of the human eye. Then we have scaling factors. They are meant to compensate the differences in spectra which are acquired at different resolution levels. I mean that, for example, if I just use the very best resolution and then change it to a lower one, one can see that there is really sometimes very drastic differences in the level of spectra, which of course is not the wanted effect. So having two different scaling factors, the first one just tries to, in a way, compensate the difference, which is calculated from the panchromatic images. And the other one just divides the high-resolution image with the low-resolution image. Then about the experiments. So we had two objects, which were acquired this multispectral imaging system. And we actually acquired four different kind of images. So both these RGB images and spectral images at low and high resolution. And the wavelength range used was from 420 to 720 at 20 nanometer intervals. But the first two channels, they were so noisy there were some other problems as well, so we just had to take this 460 nanometers wavelength channel as the first one. So as I said before, there were some differences between the spectra acquired at different resolution levels. And here's the first table. There will be many more. I'm sorry for that. But basically, the differences between the spectra of different resolution levels, the average one was something like 1.5 to 2.1. So that's actually something that one has to take into account when just trying to judge the results. So then we just performed calculations and got some results, NASA tables. There are actually two different cases. It says calculated low resolution image. And that basically means that when we had this high-resolution panchromatic image, we just changed its resolution to the lower one by taking two times two windows and calculating the average of that. So that would actually be the real case, how one could do it. The lower one, this acquired low-resolution image, it released as the one we acquired, but that was just done in order to somehow compare what is the difference between the calculated and the real case. In most cases, I cannot really think that one would still like to also acquire this low resolution panchromatic image. But what we can see is that this maximum errors, when talking about color differences, it's always this delta E star AB. But there's actually no such a huge difference between this calculated and acquired low resolution image in this case when we are just using grayscale images. The only big difference you can see is that scaling lowers this maximum error. So these methods, S0 is that no scaling is used, and this S1, S2 are the different scaling systems. So when we just moved into or used RGB images, what happened was that these methods S0 and S1, they have lower values. But also now we can see that some kind of difference between this calculated and acquired images used. And again, when using this M2, the color differences, they just becomes lower ones. But otherwise, they are not so drastic changes. Like when you compare the previous one and this one, in a way, the correspondence between calculated and acquired ones, it kind of remains the same. In a case of the second image, well, the results are pretty much the same. And I think I'll just go them extremely briefly because they are really the same. So actually this color difference is not the only one which has some kind of effect, because there's also a thing called RM's error, which maybe tells a little bit more about the spectral shape. These results are actually quite nicely correlated to this previous zone color differences. and also in the case of the other emits food. These scalings used, they never really seem to have that some huge, great, perfect impact. Maybe different kind of scalings could be used based on maybe different kind of systems, but then when comparing these two methods meant for using RGB images, so this second method in which these sensitivity functions were used, they seem to work better, and I kind of assume that when one would really be able to use the sensitivity functions of camera, the results should be better. Here are the achieved color differences in pictorial form. They have been scaled in a way that they use the whole grayscale, so you cannot really compare results from grayscale to M1 or M2 directly, but what you can see is that in the case of grayscale, one can see very clearly these kind of white lines there in the places where the color changes drastically from, for example, black to red or black to blue. And in the cases of M1 and M2, when the other RGB channels are employed, are used, one cannot really see them anymore, or at least not that much. So, to the discussion. Well, to compare gray level pixels in both high and low resolution images may be identical, but the corresponding RGB triplets may not be alike. That's one case which might cause some gray hair. And also, even though the differences in RGB triplets could be seen in a grayscale image, the information transferred to alpha, which is like a modulation coefficient, includes only the information about the difference in lightness and not in color. And this is emphasized in the border area of the colors. So actually in the previous picture, it was seen very clearly. And the use of three different channels allows the handling of color information at different parts of spectra. So it kind of should help. Then conclusions. So MRI method is time efficient. It's actually very fast and rather easy to implement. It does have some shortcomings, but I would say that it preserves the spectral properties quite well, since we have to remember that in the case of acquired spectra, there were already at the beginning differences. And of course, the use of these camera sensitivities should be kind of recommended and should also help. Then, always time for acknowledgements. I would like to thank Alfred Kollerén Foundation for the funding, Color Group of University of Eastern Finland for providing the equipment, and Dr. Vladimir Pohka for kindly pushing me towards image fusion. And thank you for your attention.
So thank you, Ole. We have time for just one, two questions.
I hope you don't think this question is unfair, and it may be to do with the use of MRAM, but somewhere in there must be an assumption about how rapidly you think the spectra are changing with wavelength. So in particular, if you have high reflectances at very short wavelengths, say 400 nanometers, maybe 410 nanometers, but nothing happening at medium to long wavelengths, there'll be a real problem in improving those images at short wavelengths. Is that right?
Can you still repeat it? I wasn't really able to hear what you said at the beginning. Like,
it's essentially the question of what assumptions this sharpening process makes about the rate of change of spectra that you're trying to model.
Yeah, I assume that the main problem is like when you have a real border, so then it usually means trouble.
Okay.
If you have like kind of very smooth change, for example, from yellow to red,
yeah,
it should be quite okay.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of reassuring. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other question? So thanks, but you have another one, so she will act as our keynote for this session, so please.